Well, thanks, Nick, for putting this panel together. It's always fun to get to, you know, the cliche, break down our silos. It seems like we're always breaking down silos more than we're building them. At least we talk about breaking down silos, so it's really nice to be able to do that here, a rare opportunity at a conference like this to be able to do that. So I'm going to drill down much more specifically into the food industry and how it goes about co-opting one particular profession. This is a report that I put out earlier this year about the Academy of Nutrition and Dietetics, which is formerly known as the American Dietetic Association, a professional group that represents some 74,000 registered dietitians. These are professionals that are really on the front lines of teaching Americans how to eat right, and apparently not doing a very good job of it, and you'll see in a minute why. But just to take a step back, my book, Appetite for Profit, came out in 2006, and at that time, there was a lot of co-optation already going on. Obviously, for years, the food industry has been positioning itself as a good player, but it sort of really ratcheted up in the last decade. And so I have examples in the book like this, which is a curriculum called Balance First, put out by the food company PepsiCo. And if you're not familiar, I mean, you're familiar with the brands Pepsi and Frito-Lay. Most people don't realize PepsiCo owns a number of brands, is the largest food company in the country. And so they thought it would be a good idea in response to the criticism leveled at them for, you know, hawking soda and snacks, to educate students in schools about how to eat right, and who better to do that than a soda and salty snack company. And then we saw other companies jumping on this educational bandwagon. Coca-Cola had a curriculum. And, you know, these are from a few years ago, and it's not clear, you know, to what extent they're really being implemented still. But certainly all of these companies are still engaging in heavy educational activity. This particular curriculum called Live It, with the spokesperson, Lance Armstrong, who is an equal opportunity shill for industry. He's also got a deal with Anheuser-Busch, right, to promote Michelob, I think it is. Anyway, so Lance Armstrong up for sale no matter what harmful product it might be. And then, of course, what? Yeah. our favorite company to pick on, McDonald's, you know, never to lose an opportunity to educate children to work their way into schools, had this curriculum called Passport to Play for elementary schools. And you may recall that Ronald morphed into just a fun clown into a soccer-playing athlete. The company started calling Ronald their ambassador for health, because who better to teach your elementary school children about how to eat right than, you know, the hawker of Happy Meals. So that's just kind of, you know, some backdrop for how industry is really trying to position, food industry particularly, is trying to position itself as, you know, the educators, right? Because they don't want at this conference to be doing the education, because that might actually undermine their message to sell more product. So, you know, a really important way to get its educational messages across is through this vehicle of health professionals. And in this case, I wanted to take a close look at the Academy of Nutrition and Dietetics. And what I'm going to do now is show you a series of photos that really help bring home what's going on with the complete co-optation of this particular professional organization by the food industry. I had to go witness it myself. For 2 years, I went to the annual expo. They call it the Food and Nutrition Conference and Expo, which you walk into the expo hall, and I was, you know, looking at ours, which, you know, there's Merck and a couple other evil companies, but like nothing by comparison to walking into the expo at this nutrition conference, which you think you walked into the wrong place. So just to give you an example, first of all, these are the companies that for last year were the corporate sponsors of the Academy. So companies like PepsiCo, Coca-Cola, Mars Candy, Kellogg, et cetera. So let's get to the showroom floor. I'm going to take you on a little tour of the showroom floor. So this is McDonald's, which this particular year, it wasn't a huge presence, but it was promoting its salads, because everyone knows people go to McDonald's for the salads. So, of course, you know, what they're trying to do is promote to registered dietitians the healthiest possible food on the menu and get RDs to sample the food. And they also had, this was 2 years ago when they first introduced the little apple slices in the Happy Meals, so they had those at the booth, too. And that sign in the back, some of you might recognize as the My Plate. No, it's the federal government symbol, and it had just come out, and many of the companies were trying to show how their menu items fit into, you know, the federal government dietary guidelines. So this year, McDonald's was there again. This past year, I went. I'm definitely not ever going again to this conference. But in fact, this year, they banned photography. I'm very happy to take credit for the photography ban because they got so much, you know, negative publicity from the photos that I took for the last 2 years. So McDonald's, smoothie company, you might not realize, also an oatmeal company. So, you know, again, at a nutrition conference, they are going to make themselves out to be the salad, smoothie, and oatmeal company. Never mind that their oatmeal happens to contain 32 grams of sugar. That didn't make it onto this huge poster, which has the calories and, you know, whole grain content. So what they did very cleverly is promote the, they had samples of the oatmeal for RDs. So, I mean, you go to the McDonald's booth first thing in the morning, and it's just full of RDs happy to get the free oatmeal, right? I mean, it's a great way to curry favor with this important group. Okay, Coca-Cola, I could, like, do a whole set of slides on the Coca-Cola booth, but this is just a few fun ones. So, you know, if you're confused about nutrition, you should obviously ask Coke, who better to teach you about that topic. And then they, in the 2 years I went, they had this kind of signage promoting the registered dietitian. She's holding an apple, not a can of Coke, but well, it's not really clear why Coke needs to be promoting the RD. And then they had this similar sign. This one's my favorite, though, because she has a stethoscope around her, and I don't know any RDs who use stethoscopes. So, you know, perhaps they double this sign and change it to promoting the medical doctor. I don't know, but Coke is a little confused itself. So, you know, and I also have the Coca-Cola machine and swag. You know, I mean, the dietitians are lined up at the Coke booth. I'm really sorry to report about that. Okay, PepsiCo, I mentioned, they have multiple booths, one for, like, each snack food. I mean, they have a huge presence there. And then they spin the snack food as simple. So they break it down. You never mind all the, you know, the salt and oil. I mean, it's simple ingredients. See, look, it comes from an actual potato, and that's, you know, their education, another form of education. So in each of these booths, there's often handouts, right, educational handouts that go with the, you know, to be part of the propaganda. And in this case, it's comparing the snack chips to other junk food, you know, to say, well, look, our salty snacks are really just as bad as others. And then my favorite, well, besides Coke, it's hard to know which is my favorite, but Hershey's has a huge presence at this nutrition conference, too, and they promote this educational campaign in coordination with the academy called Moderation Nation. And, of course, they have a lot of education there about how chocolate is good for you, never mind the fact that the sugar, you know, completely outdoes any possible positive benefits from what comes only in dark chocolate. And then they have these kind of educational handouts that talk about portion control. Next, you know, my other great example. Yes, so there's a candy lobby, you may not be aware, but the National Confectioners Association had a presence this past year for the first time, and they were kind of interesting because they actually asked to meet with me, and they wanted to kind of, you know, educate me personally, and I guess they were meeting with other individuals, and didn't work, but it was fun to kind of hear what they had to say, yeah. So, and then they also did this educational handout about portion control, right? So, of course, oh, my favorite line from, and many RDs, by the way, work for these companies, so the RD for the candy lobby, her spin was, well, you know, we want people to have a healthy relationship with candy because if it's taboo, then of course, you know, okay, right. That's like, it's just silly reasoning, but that's, you know, that's how she's, I guess, made herself feel good about working there. So then are the other lobbying groups who are there. So Grocery Manufacturers Association is the nation's largest lobbying group for the junk food makers, and they were handing this out on high fructose corn syrup, because again, who better to teach you about the science behind high fructose corn syrup than a bunch of lobbyists? And then, not to be outdone, the American Beverage Association, the trade group that represents the actual soft drink companies, had its own booth, which, with this type of handout, talking about facts about sweetened, sugar-sweetened beverages. And, of course, cherry-picking the science that they most likely funded, saying there's no connection between drinking soda and any adverse health outcomes. Okay, so why does this all this matter? Well, you know, I mean, I think it should be obvious that this is a target group that is really important. And although the Academy says that, you know, there's no endorsement implied in the fact that all these companies are at our annual expo. And by the way, they all do educational sessions too. But a survey showed that 80% of their own membership of this organization says that sponsorship by these companies implies Academy endorsement, right? So obviously, when you show up to this expo, it's not only that they're there, it's that they've also infiltrated the educational sessions. So imagine, you know, coming to APHA and walking into the Coca-Cola sponsored session on aspartame. That's what's going on at this nutrition conference. I mean, it's really that bad and that staggering. And then it's not just this once a year event where this type of educational co-optation goes on, but it's year round. So the Academy has these, you know, requirements for educational continuing ed units, right? And then the companies and others sign up to be able to be a official, you know, educator for RDs to get CEUs. And of course they get CEUs to attend the meeting, and then they can take webinars. And so you can find Coca-Cola sponsored webinars on things like aspartame and children and sugar, saying, you know, it's okay for children to consume Coca-Cola, et cetera. And this is what RDs can get continuing ed units for. So this is a year-round process. And then, you know, what I also talked about in the report was, what are the policy implications of this kind of professional co-optation? Well, it may come as no surprise. I mean, again, you know, the Academy will say, oh, well, it doesn't affect our policy positions. But coincidentally, the Academy has not taken any controversial or any positions, you know, that could help public health on such controversial issues that might upset their corporate sponsors, like the drink size proposal in New York City, soda taxes, or GMO labeling. And on the soda cup size limit in New York City, they went so far as to put out a statement in the height of the controversy to say, well, you know, we think it really needs some more study. I mean, they could have just kept quiet, but they didn't. They actually put something that was harmful to the discussion. And so, you know, when we see these kinds of positions or lack of positions, and I will say they've done some good things, and there's really a disconnect, and I think there are some good people in the DC lobbying office, but then the central office is obviously still calling the shots. And so if nothing else, there's certainly an appearance of a problem when you have these types of big food companies infiltrating this organization. But in good news, I want to spend a minute talking about what's happened since the report. I'm happy to say that I've inspired a rogue band of registered dietitians to come together and form this group they call Dietitians for Professional Integrity. Started out as a Facebook page. They've got now over like 6,000 likes and an official website. And they promoted this change.org petition directed at the Academy to basically, you know, retool its sponsorship. Not to get rid of corporate sponsorship completely, but to get rid of the most egregious examples and at least have some better guidelines around it. And it got 25,000 signatures, and just 2 weeks ago was the annual meeting that I am now banned from, and photography is banned from as well. This petition was delivered by the leaders of this group to the leadership of the Academy. And, you know, they got a conversation going. I mean, there's been the pushback and the defensiveness from the Academy has been really quite bad. But at least some positive steps were made at this most recent gathering where, you know, a conversation was opened. And so I'm hopeful. I mean, and this group is really very determined to see changes made. I mean, you know, they're fighting for the reputation of their own profession. So, you know, there is, I think, some hope there, particularly with the generational change. And then, you know, and we need it because I even got caught up in the act with taking a picture with the stupid frosted mini wheat at this thing. So, but lastly, I want to draw attention to another form of sort of industry co-optation, which is McDonald's. They just put out this report with corporate accountability, and the folks are here in the second row, Sarah and Hannah, with copies of this report. It's about McDonald's charitable activities, and of course, what better way to kind of co-opt the conversation and claim that you're a good corporate actor than engaging in charity? And we took a deeper look at that to show, well, actually, the bang that McDonald's gets for its charity is way bigger than the dollars that it's spending. And, you know, you might be surprised to find out that McDonald's doesn't really fund Ronald McDonald House charities to an extent that you might assume. Most people think it's 100%. It's really more like 20% nationally and then 10% at the local level. So I'm just really excited about this report because it just came out, so I wanted to work it in there. And you can get copies of the executive summary and download it from either my website or Corporate Accountability, who you should definitely check out. They're a wonderful, kick-ass organization. And with that, I will step there and take your questions later. And that's my contact info. Thank you.